Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is fourth Thursday of the month, so you must be listening to Waste Matters on the air on KMUZ at 88.5 and 100.7 FM, the show that trashes waste and how to prevent it. I'm your host, Alan Pennington, a waste reduction coordinator with Marion County Environmental Services, and I'm here in the studio today with my guest, Christopher Holland, owner of the Taproot Restaurant. Let's think about how, for just a minute, how important are restaurants to the overall economy? And I've got some stats here that I think are interesting. And these are really current. They're from the total of 2017 from the State of the Industry organization. And they say that sales in the restaurant business last year totaled $799 billion, just a billion shy. So, Christopher, if you guys could crank that last billion up, you'd push us over the top. And there are a million-plus restaurants in the United States, which is crazy because there's approximately 350 million people here. So there's a restaurant there for about every 350 people, just about. So that's a lot. There are 14.5 million restaurant employees, which make up 10% of the workforce in the United States. So it's a huge economic motivator for jobs, job creation creator. It's also probably one of the most likely places that folks who are, you know, mom and pop operations get that a chance to get into the operating their own business. So it's a very important part of the American scene, which brings me to my guest today. Christopher Holland is here in Marion County, who is going to share some of his thoughts and wisdom with us today about his restaurant and how he got started and kind of how what's his place in the world here. So, Christopher, thank you so much for taking time off. I know that you were busy a day. Again, I got him to show up kind of the tail end of the restaurant lunch rush. And he was telling me he had a group of how many folks were there?
A bus full of 37 came through on top of our normal rush.
So the place was packed, right?
It was, yeah. It was hard to leave, but yes. I appreciate you having me here, and I'm excited. Thank you.
Well, it's great. So Chris, tell us about yourself. Where did you grow up, and where did you go to school? Those kind of things.
I grew up right here in Salem. I'm born at the Salem Hospital, went to North Salem High School, and on to Chemeketa in Oregon State. So I'm a hometown boy through and through.
Okay. And you went to what high school?
North Salem.
Okay. So you went to North Salem. And so we mentioned before that Jay Yoder was one of the emails to go to let him know more about some of those events that you were talking about, and you knew him.
Yeah, I saw him in the halls and heard his name. I don't remember if I actually had him as a teacher specifically, but he was definitely there at the same time I was, so yes. I know the name.
Right. And so so you had an education, but none of that sounds like you had either a business background. Did you study business at any point?
I did. After high school, I attended Chemeketa and wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. So I went into business because it was kind of general, buy me some time to kind of figure out what specifically I wanted to do. And I paired that with psychology. I got a minor in psychology because I found people interesting. So I quickly found that business and psychology equaled bartender. And when I was shortly after school, I landed myself a bartender job, and that's where I got my restaurant experience and my actual education in the world. So.
And that was at the RAM, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. And you were there for a few years?
A couple months short of 10.
Okay. So, yeah that's quite a stint. Because my guess is that, in general, the restaurant world is one probably full of turnover.
Can be, yes.
Yes. I guess it depends on the place. I spent my wayward youth busing tables and then eventually became a cook at an IHOP. That's what kind of kept me from stealing hubcaps on a Saturday night. But let me tell you what, when my other friends were out having fun, I was sad that I was flipping pancakes, but oh well. It kept me on the straight and narrow, so to speak. So you had an interest in this. You were doing all these things, and you had a background. And so at some point you said, Christopher, you should just open up a restaurant.
Well, I watched my father. My father was a self-employed mechanic. my whole life. That's all I've known. So I've watched him own and operate his own business. So that was kind of the model that I, you know, was used to. And my father taught me how to think freely and outside the box. And so it was kind of the path that I felt natural in. And I've been kind of entrepreneurial minded since I was 14, 15, and had to just take some time to figure out what exactly I wanted to do, what path I wanted to go down.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so you had a good role model there. And so at some point you decided that you wanted to start your own business, and how did you prepare for it? I mean, just saying, well, I want to start a restaurant, generally you have to have, there's a whole bunch of things up front. Any business you open up, I mean, if you're going to do a bookstore, you got to have money to get some books. If you're going to open up a restaurant, you got to have the equipment, and you got to have the gear, and you got to have some place to call your home. So how did you start? How did that all come together?
Sure. And obviously it didn't come all together overnight. It was years and years, probably 15 years in the making. The seed was planted in my first restaurant job. And, you know, you learn the industry, you learn the trends, you learn the tricks of the trade. And then you either become good at those or you don't. And I found that, you know, I had the bandwidth and aptitude to do well in the restaurant industry. So I honestly never really wanted a restaurant. I told myself I never want to run a restaurant. And then slowly over the years, I would just pay attention to things that I liked and pieces I would take and pieces I would leave behind. And so the idea of, you know, a lounge and cafe kind of made sense. Probably 10 years ago, I had never really heard of a coffee bar, but that was my first idea, like a coffee bar, something that would operate healthily like throughout the day and then turn into a viable business at night as well. So, and then it just kind of evolved into what it did. My personal experiences in the world led me to, you know, like certain things, notice certain trends, focus on health and the importance of being local and understanding how the economy works, you know, kind of all blent together into what I just felt natural and wanting to do.
Mm-hmm. And so this all culminated in the establishment of Taproot, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So just so our audience knows who we're talking about here, I mean, most people that are listening to us have an idea of what Taproot is and where it is. Can you give the location?
Yep, we're 356 State Street. We're right between Cook's Stationery and U.S. Bank, mm-hmm. right by the alley there.
Yes. And so what did it used to be?
It's been a bar for the last 60 years from what I can recall. But it was Pete's Place and Vidal's and Weber's too.
Weber's, yes. That's what I remember from mm-hmm. many years ago when I first moved to Salem. So before you actually were able to open up the doors there, you started accumulating things. That's what I remember. When I first went in there, you had a lot of furniture that you'd squirreled away over the years. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, of course. I didn't come from a wealthy background, so we had to make do with what we had. And throughout the years, my father and I loved to go yard selling and estate selling. And so I'd pick up things along the way, and it was like my hope chest. You know, I wanted to build something someday, but, you know, as a young kid, I didn't know how, but I knew that I could eventually if I just kept working at it. And so that kind of squirreling away mentality kind of helped me take advantage of opportunities. So, I got probably 25 chairs from the RAM. They were, you know, swapping over to new chairs, and they were going to throw these chairs away. Well, I gladly took them from them and put some elbow grease in them and kind of brought them back. And that's how we opened the doors, because I wouldn't have been able to afford the chairs, you know, from the get-go. So it's definitely lended itself to being able to start out.
Mm-hmm. And then you also got hold of some tables, too, from someplace, or the booths?
The booths, yeah. Those booths actually came from, I first saw those at Clockworks Cafe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the years, places come and go, unfortunately.
Right.
And I had kept in touch with Ryan Rogers and sent him a line and say, are those booths still available? And he said, yeah. So I was able to pick them up from him and bring them back to life.
So you've got tables and you've got booths. And so tell us a little bit more about the you also have, Well, let me get to one of my favorite pieces automatically here. The first one, the windmill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell us about this windmill.
Well, throughout the years, wherever I go, I'm always looking at the walls, the ceilings, the floors, because I've had this deep interest into building something. So I'm always curious and fascinated about how other places decorate, how they attract people, and what makes a place comfortable. And so I saw this windmill up in Portland many, many years ago, and I just was fascinated by it. And I have one of my best friends is an electrical engineer, and his friend is a metal fabricator. And we decided that one day we're just going to build this fan. So I sourced a fan online and, you know, found one out in Redmond, and it was just an old beat-up fan. And, you know, my friends who are smarter than me, they did all the gearing, and we just, you know, worked as a team and made something out of it. So.
Mm-hmm. And so you've turned it into a giant fan over your dining room.
Mm-hmm.
It's way cool. It almost looks like a Rube Goldberg apparatus, because you got all the different the belts running from wheels to smaller wheels to gears, and it's way cool to look at, and it works. So it's a neat use of various of materials that are out there that were available to you. And it does. It does feel very comfortable. And obviously, you've been incredibly successful there. I mean, there are people there that go over and over again. You have regulars.
I've been very lucky, yes.
And quite a few of them. So I just need to take a break here and let folks know that if they just tuned in, they're listening to Waste Matters on the Air at KMUZ at 88.5 and 100.7 FM. I'm Alan Pennington, a waste reduction coordinator from Marin County, and I'm speaking with Christopher Holland of Taproot. It's located here in Salem over on State Street. So a couple of the things, Christopher, one of the things you walk into your restaurant, and there's a lot of wood. There's wood everywhere. So tell us about the walls and your flooring and your ceiling, just because I think it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an old building. I think the date on it's 1868. So I knew that going in, and knew there must have been brick behind the wall. So we did some poking and prodding, and I wanted to expose that brick. And what was the stats on how many restaurants were in the...
Over a million.
So I knew that also going in. So I wanted something unique to be able to compete with all those numbers, because there was a lot of restaurants. And so, again, I didn't have a lot of money. So I had to use what was available, and the brick was there. And it was cheap because it was already there. So that also Barnwood Naturals, Bruce Wadley, he helped out by allowing access to some of the extra wood that he had for his various projects. So he was able to provide some of the wood there that we used on the walls and for the facade, for the kitchen and whatnot. There's another gentleman in town who does bar tops, and he had a bunch of wood slabs in his yard that weren't being used. So, you know, well, again, with some elbow grease and some ingenuity, we brought those back to life, and those are now our beautiful bar tops that we're super happy with, and just fortunate enough to have these gentlemen in the community that have these things that we're willing to share and contribute to the vision of Taproot. So,
mm-hmm. And so you also have, it tells you also got a walk-in door that was there.
There was an old walk-in. The existing kitchen was kind of laid out the way it was, and mm-hmm. that door was there. You know, over the years, people had, you know, every time someone comes in, they painted a different color, and there was, you know, 8 to 10 different layers of paint on that door. And so I just kind of scuffed it up and exposed the different colors of paint and just left it the way it is. So that wasn't a find. That was already there.
Right. And then there were some other pieces that you used that when you were disassembling some of the old wall that you turned into, for example, like bookshelves.
Mm-hmm. The last establishment had a low ceiling grid that they had it was a bookshelf looking structure that we saved and we repainted and resized and fit for the window decorations and a bookshelf and the cafe, the cafe shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've got some bookshelves in the back, and you've how many square feet do you have there? Do you remember?
3,600.
Yeah, so it's pretty roomy, and you've got two bars, and you've got a full kitchen. So in your kitchen, tell us about your food. What kind of food that you serve, and, you know, is it locally sourced, or tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. The idea of the food also has been in evolution over the years, and I wanted something simple yet healthy and fresh. I liked going out at night. I liked, you know, the social arena, but I didn't necessarily like the food that I found when I was going out. So I wanted to create something that I didn't feel bad about eating late night. And that's kind of where it started and kind of sprung from there. So I just wanted something simple and healthy. And we do get our food from Sysco, and they do a pretty good job of sourcing as locally as possible as they can. And we do buy from a variety of smaller local sources for, you know, variety. We have Sprouts from a local guy, and, you know, we buy from a various variety of different places. The bulk of our food does come from Sysco because they do, like I said, a good job of sourcing it also.
Mm-hmm. And I just have to tell you, I don't really care for Sprouts that much, but I like yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're really tasty. So it's you've got this food that's a little bit different from anybody else's. You've got a look that's different from anybody else's. So I would say business is pretty good, right?
As far as I can tell, yeah. And, I've never done this before, but yeah.
And you offer music at night?
We do. We have, at a minimum, music twice a week, Friday and Saturday, mm-hmm. and occasionally a Tuesday or a random Wednesday. First Tuesdays we do open mic, and we'll do first Wednesdays. We try to book as much music as possible in the mm-hmm. summertime when first Wednesdays are hot and rolling.
Yeah. And now you as a Salem resident, would you say that the music scene in Salem now is probably more vibrant now than it has ever been overall? I mean, in general?
Most definitely more vibrant than I've ever experienced. You know, 10 years ago, I wasn't in the music scene, so I can't really speak to how vibrant it was then. But over the 3 or 4 years that we've been around, we've definitely seen an explosion of variety and quality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how many staff do you have working there?
I think we just hired our 37th, 38th employee.
38th. Okay. That's quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're open 7 days a week?
7 days a week.
Hours?
We open for breakfast at 7 a.m. and we won't close before 1 a.m. Sometimes we'll be rocking until 2 in the morning.
I had no idea you were open for breakfast at 7 a.m.
Yeah. Breakfast is great.
Wow.
Yeah.
So who picks the menu? Who's the chef?
My current chef, his name is Jared Norris, and Johnny Ewing is his sous chef. We work closely together at all times, talking about different things. I kind of give them the general philosophy, and then within those parameters, they come up with things that fit, and they bring new ideas, and they're doing a great job coming up and keeping the food consistent, quality high, and I'm really proud of those guys.
Mm-hmm. So we were just talking about this. If sometimes I throw a question on, if somebody was walking up to you and they said that, you know, they said, wow, this is cool. I want to do something like this. How do you get started? What would you tell them? What would you tell some teenager that would have that question? And I posed this to him before the show, and he tells me that's a great question because he just had a whole group of kids just come through his place because South Salem High School operates a culinary institute within the high school. It's also part of the CTEC program over on Portland Road. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about what you would tell them.
Sure. Unfortunately, I would say read. Read a lot. Ask a lot of questions. But specifically, I took something from Rich Dad, Poor Dad when I was in college and starting up and asking questions about how business worked. And the piece I took from that was, you know, every job that you do, there's an opportunity to learn. Don't take a job necessarily for the financial benefit. Take it for the education. Because when you're young, you're possibly not going to get paid a lot anyway. But if you take a genuine interest in what you're doing and how it works, and you can follow the product, like where did this roll of napkins come from? Well, they had to be purchased, and they had to be delivered, and they had to be processed, and they had to be farmed, and you like follow the process, and then where does it go when you're done with it? It ends up in the garbage. Well, it doesn't really end up there. It ends up in a fill station or a recycling station, but it doesn't end up there either. It ends up into a tree again. Mm-hmm. You know, you can follow the process from start to finish, and then you understand, you start to build a picture of how things work and then how commerce works and the economy. So I would say, you know, take a general interest and read some specific material in your field of interest and ask a lot of questions. Keep asking questions.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever take on interns? Have you ever been asked?
Yeah, kind of. We had a young girl. She was blind, and we took her on with a program and taught her how to, you know, integrate into the real world and gave her a real job. We gave her duties and responsibilities. And so as far as like an intern, kind of, but not in probably the general sense that you were asking me, we haven't had anyone ask other than that.
Okay. And my guess is that probably in the restaurant world, folks kind of have to get in there and start at the bottom and work their way up, right? I mean, for teenagers, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. there's always, in the bigger restaurants, there's somebody who just does busing tables, and there's somebody's got to wash the dishes.
Yeah.
And usually those are the entry-level jobs.
Yeah, if you want to be a bartender one day, then don't be above washing dishes.
Right.
Come in, be as useful as you can, be willing to do anything, because you're going to learn, and someone's going to give you a chance if you're valuable to them. If you have a good attitude and you're willing to wash dishes, then you probably have a good attitude online, so we'll teach you how to prep. You do a good job prepping, you'll probably be a cook real quick. You're good with people, then you'll be a good busser, a good server, and then soon a good bartender. So there's not all's lost if you don't get the position that you want right away.
Right.
Yeah.
And also notice that a lot of bartenders are also constantly washing the dishes too.
Correct.
Yep. They're washing those glasses. Mm-hmm. They're keeping pretty busy. Wow. So all this, you know, culmination of Taproot, it's already come into its own. And so now you've got this established and you're kind of on cruise control in a sense that you've got your plan. It seems like it's kind of come to fruition. You've got the place that people like to go to. They like the food. Trends come and go, but yours is so different that it may be able to buck trends. So you have future plans? What's the next step for Christopher Holland?
Well, we were in development for such a long period of time, and then we were in growth, and we're still growing, but I think maintenance is going to be my next frontier, is learning how to maintain the systems and create better systems and, you know, reduce some costs, reduce waste, and just get a little more efficient and kind of ride this out for a little bit, you know, rest. It's been a long couple years, so learning how to maintain is a different game than learning how to grow and learning how to launch. So that's what I'm learning now, is the constant day-to-day, how to be consistent.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of, when did you guys open? When was
it? It was July of 2014.
14, okay.
I think if my math is correct. So 3 years in July will be, yeah.
Okay. So that's a pretty good run so far.
Yeah, it's gone quickly.
Yeah, there's a lot of other restaurants out there that have come and gone multiple times in just that three-year period. So you're doing pretty well. So is there anything we missed? Something else you'd like to share with our audience before we go?
I'd take an opportunity to say thank you to Salem, because we did launch a Kickstarter, and I was pleasantly surprised by the response and how welcoming Salem has been. And we've had... I had ordered about 222 people donate either time, energy, or money to this dream that I had, and I wouldn't be here without that Kickstarter program. So, you know, thank you to Salem. Thank you for everyone who helped out along the way. I've tried, you know, try my best to reach out and say thanks, but, you know, again, we really appreciate our backers.
Yeah. Well, and it's great, too, because you're a Salem kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is your hometown, and so that's pretty cool. So will there be a Taproot 2?
Somewhere? You never know. Never know. Hopefully, you know.
You never know. Okay. Well, you know, we've kind of run out of time, and I would like to thank our guest, Christopher Holland, for sharing his time and knowledge with us today. You've been listening to KMUZ, reaching parts of Marion, Polk, and Linn counties via 88.5 FM, and deep into Seoul, Central Salem, and Kaiser on 100.7 FM. Join us again here on KMUZ on Thursday. That will be February the 8th at 1 p.m. where we'll talk trash and ways to avoid it on another fabulous episode of Waste Matters on the Air. And, of course, KMUZ.org's website has podcasts of all of our shows and many others. So we'll get a chance to hear Christopher Holland talk for the eternity, as long as there's an Internet. So, as always, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at environmentalservices@co.marion.or.us. That would put a restaurant out of business with an email like that. And check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Just search Marion County Environmental Services, and you'll find us. Okay? So, as an old Roman philosopher once chiseled, if you don't need it, don't buy it.